microphone on? Is it on? I can't. Doesn't sound like it. Okay. There we go. Thank you. I appreciate you being here. I know this. I've done this a lot, y'all. This is my 101st time to do this. I'm used to Sunday afternoon crowds being like this. So thank you for being here, though. It means that you really care about this, and I appreciate it very, very much. We're starting about 5-10 minutes early, and that's okay. But I won't go long just for the sake of it. All right. The reason I enjoy this part of my presentation the most is back a very, very long time ago, I put together basically what we're talking about here. And actually, that would have been 1999. That's a long time ago. And a little bit earlier than that. And eventually, I took a class at West Texas A&M. And they told me I had to, a class on putting together seminars. And they told me I had to expand it to 3 hours. All right. So that's actually where the seminar I'm presenting came from. All right. But this was the part I'd been doing for 2 or 3, 4, 5 years before that. It's just about TV and it's basically media literacy. But it's the part that I have the most fun with. Part of it's because I've done it for so long and it's not new material to me. But it's important. I used to do this in Bible class and then talk about the social media in this session. But I'm sorry, y'all, that social media stuff, it's more important than what I'm talking about here. This is important, okay? Don't take me wrong, all right? But that social media stuff is newer stuff, and it's a bigger problem now than just television as a whole. That doesn't mean we don't need to talk about TV. First time I did this presentation, it was the Grace Street Church of Christ in Crockett, Texas. An old gentleman came up to me. This is the very first time I did it. He said, "Delton, I don't have to pay attention to anything you're saying. I've got grandkids, great-grandkids, and I'm too old to worry about all this." Well, I asked him very politely, because he was one of the elders there, and I wanted to be nice. I said, "How many of your kids or grandkids or great-grandkids do you have in your house at any given time?" He says, "I pretty well got somebody there all the time." I said, "Well, this does apply to you, because you're still in charge of the television." All right? So even if you're a grandparent or great-grandparent, this can either help you with your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren, or if nothing else, give advice to your children about how to handle this. We're looking mostly at numbers here, and that's because TV is all about quantity, all right? But I think you'll understand where I'm going when I get to it. Why do I show this picture? Because I love showing pictures of my grandbabies, all right? And I can do that because I put this together. She's actually 7 now. She's actually 7. We saw her yesterday. It was fun. I just put that picture in there because I could. All right. The problem with television, as we were alluding to this morning related to social media, the problem can be the moral side rather than just the quantity or the numbers or the time. And that's the reason I bring up this scripture. Christ told us in Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, "The eye is the lamp of the body, so then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is dark, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" We have to think about it a little bit conceptually, but there's a true deep meaning here related to how much dark do we take in related to what we are on the inside. We're going to talk a little while about desensitization. And that's part of what we deal with television. We tolerate things that we didn't used to tolerate. We totally ignore or no longer offended by things that we used to be terribly offended by. You know, we've been darkened on the inside. We don't have as much light coming in if we spend too much time with that dark side. Another way of putting it was written by the psalmist in 119, verses 9 through 16. "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word." Back to the same issue again, what are we taking in? And that's the reason I spend so much time talking about television. Television has a lot of good. A lot of good. Give you a little historical background. There's a book, some books that came out in the 50s and early 60s. It's called The Church of Today, or Preachers of Today. Some of you that are old enough know what I'm talking about. And what it was it was a biography of all the Church of Christ preachers in the country. It came out 3 volumes of this. It had a picture and a short biography and who their kids were and when they were baptized and all that kind of stuff. All right. Came out in, I think, 56, 59, and 60. If you're a church historian, you love that book because it's got all the old preachers in it from way, way back. But what did they always brag about? And every one of them, they bragged about their television work, almost without exception. And the reason they did is because in 1959 and 60, we thought we were going to evangelize the whole world within the next 5 or 6 years because of television. So there is a lot of good potential that was there then that is still there now. Evangelizing the whole world via television has not happened yet. All right? Of course, there's a lot of mediocre in television. A lot that just is total waste. Not good, not bad, just not worth anything. All right? But there's also a lot of bad. The average person will spend 9 years of their lives watching television. The average person will spend 9 years of their life watching television. I've actually been to this place. I doubt if you can see it very well. I've actually been to that peak. That is overlooking the Buffalo River in Arkansas. How in the world they got that TV and that chair there? Because I know it's a half a mile hike in. All right? I've been on that hike. But I've been to that very spot. And the idea there is he's in one of the prettiest places in the whole world, yet he's sitting there watching his television. It's supposed to be an irony there. What are we missing when we spend so much time with television? Well, the young and the older are the groups that watch the most. The average person watches over 5 hours of TV per day. I was saying 6 earlier. I was wrong. It used to be 4. All right. It went from 4 to 5, not from 5 to 6. But it was over 5 hours a day, up from 4 hours per day 10 years ago when I last time I put this together a number of while back. 67% of Americans always or often watch TV while eating dinner, up from 40% 10 years ago. Now, what two groups do you think watch the most TV? Somebody say it out loud. Two groups. Okay, I can't hear you, but the answer is youngest and the oldest. I did not put my hearing aids back in a while ago. All right? But the youngest and the oldest. Why? Because they're the ones that have time. 6 and under, 60 and up are the ones that watch the most television. And they're the ones that really do skew some of these numbers. When I say the fact that we watch 4 hours of TV per day, or 5 hours per day, all of you that work say, when in the world does anybody find time to do that? All right? And it's because those numbers are skewed by that younger and that older group. 56% of children's ages 8 to 16 have a TV in their bedrooms. We're going to talk about that. 70% of daycare centers have a TV typically in their facilities. The average American youth spends 900 hours per year in school and over 1,200 hours per year watching television. 55% of young adults admit to postponing their bedtimes for TV. And the world does change. The average American sees 1 million TV commercials by the age of 55, half the amount 10 years ago. What changed that? It's initials, 3 initials. DVR. That's right. Y'all, we have a DVR. I love it. Mine does not cut out the commercials, but it sure lets me fast forward to 60 times normal. All right? So I hardly ever watch the commercials. But that's where it changed. It used to be 2 million commercials by the time they're 55 years old. And it's now half of that. And that's going to get to be even more so as time goes on. 54% of 4 to 6-year-olds, when asked, this study was actually repeated to make sure it was still accurate. 54% of 4 to 6-year-olds, when asked, would rather watch TV than spend time with their dads. That shows you how important TV is to our children. You might find this humorous, but in the U.S., there are more homes that have televisions or bathrooms. There are more televisions than there are bathrooms. There's also more televisions than there are telephones in homes. We like our TVs, all right? Average number of TV per house in the entire country is 2.24 televisions per house. And 65% of homes in America have 3 or more. I won't tell you how many I have. Okay, all right. We don't use them all, though. Okay. I inherited my mother's televisions. 56% of Americans pay for cable TV. That probably includes satellite I need to double check that number. 6 million videos are rented per day. They used to be rented at the video store. Now they're rented at the Redbox, at the McDonald's, and on Netflix. Did you know that they claim that 30% of all wavelength or whatever it's called, signal strength for digital signals, 30% of all the digital signals in the world are spent on Netflix? Okay. It takes a lot to send that Netflix movie to your house. 49% of Americans admit that they watch too much TV. Now, we're going to have fun with this a little bit. This is where I wish I'd put my hearing aids back in. I have a family quiz. This is all related to research. At what age do children begin imitating behaviors they see on TV? At 14 months, 2 years, or 3 years? Who thinks it's A? A. Okay, you're right. Children will begin imitating TV at 14 months. Don't think so? Watch a 14-month-old. All right? Especially one that's been put in front of the TV a lot. 14 months. Okay, this is one that people used to get wrong, but now they finally figured it out. When are children exposed the most violence on TV? Now, we're talking here, I need to qualify this. We're talking about quantity of violence per minute, not intensity of violence. Quantity of violence. Is it going to be during prime time, or is it going to be during the cartoons and non-prime time? They used to say Saturday morning cartoons, all right? But there's no such thing anymore officially as Saturday morning cartoons, all right? You've got five channels instead, all right? So, which one is it? Is it prime time or cartoon time? Cartoon time. True. My favorite, almost useless statistic. The movie that had the record for years was my favorite movie in the whole world, which is Red Dawn. Okay? That's a movie, that's a World War III movie about a bunch of kids in Colorado that fight the Cuban communist. Okay? All right? I love it. It's actually filmed in Las Vegas, New Mexico. One of the prettiest scenery movies you'll ever watch. I love that movie. All right? I'm not saying it's good for me, but I love it. All right. Now, do you know what it was beaten by? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Beat it on quantity of violence per minute. And to show you how much we're talking about, that movie was beaten out by Kill Bill. Now, those of you that keep up with movies, you know that Kill Bill is one of the worst movies ever made. All right. As far as just total worthless. But that's the quantity of violence we're talking about here. Now, media experts say that parents should limit screen time to how many hours? Now, let me identify the term screen time, because there's a difference between TV time and screen time. Screen time is everything. Screen time is everything. That's your phone. That's your video game. That's your monitor. That's your DVR. That's all of it. That's screen time. So, we already know that TV averages 4 hours. All right? Who knows what that number is by the time you include other stuff. But what do the experts say that should be limited to? All right, 1 to 2 hours. Very rarely do I disagree with anything anybody said. Okay, more power to you if you think you can do that. All right, okay. I don't think it's realistic. I don't care who you are and how great a parent you are. You're going to have trouble limiting your child's screen time to 1 to 2 hours when the average is 6 or 7, if you include all the various screens. Try it. It's a good idea. Okay. But I haven't found anybody that's that good at doing it. All right. Okay. What are the documented negative effects of over 4 hours of screen time per day? Increased risk of obesity, increased adult use of drugs and alcohol, and lower reading scores. And this stuff has been studied and studied and studied. And in case you haven't figured it out yet, the answer is all of the above. These have all been proven to be a problem for the kids that watch absolutely too much television. Now, how should you deal with this? I list two ways. One, tell them of what you approve and disapprove and why you feel that way. And number two, let's watch TV with them and explain things to them. What do y'all recommend? All the above. Okay, all the above. All right, we'll talk about that more in a few minutes too. Okay, now again, people studied this all over the place. What is the youngest age a child should start using a computer? Now, I don't necessarily agree with this, but they claim it's 3 years. That's one of those that could be hard to avoid in the world we live in. It's going to be hard for your child to stay away from a computer, because if they're in daycare, they're eventually going to have access to a computer. Daycare centers are now using versions of computers. Okay, this is a computer, y'all. And my grandson, who's two, would rather play with this than do anything. All right? I handed it to him one time about 6 months ago, and I'm scheduled out a year. I have every day for a year and a half scheduled. And he moved every day one weekday off. Y'all, I don't know how to do that. And there was no way of fixing it either. He moved everything that was on Tuesday to a Monday, everything that was Monday on a Sunday for my entire year and a half. All right? I don't let him play with my phone anymore, y'all. Okay? All right? They do know how to do something with them. Okay, I love this one, though. Research say that children become consumers at what age? Infancy, 3 years or 5 years? Infancy doesn't work because they can't talk. So what's the next one up? 3 years. True story. I used to live in a duplex there at Cherokee Home. My next door neighbor was the social work director. He had a little boy that turned 3 years old. And he took that little boy, an action figure from one of the programs on television, and gave it to him for his birthday. The three-year-old's response was, "Daddy, where are the rest of them?" Because he knew he only had a piece of the set. Was he an active consumer? Yes, he was. He knew that that one figure was only one of 20 different ones he could have got. He wanted to know where the rest of them were. Our children become consumers very, very early. Now, I'm going to get a serious question. How many of you use your V-chip? How many of you use your V-chip? How many use your V-chip? All right. That's normal. You all have a V-chip. All right. If you had raised your hand, you would have been the 11th person out of 102 presentations that uses their V-chip. Let me talk about the V-chip. And I really think I'm wasting my time talking about the V-chip, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. All right. Back in, I think it was 2002, the government, FCC, was getting all concerned about all, and people were complaining about all the trash that was coming across on your television. So the FCC, in one of their better moments, decided to get involved. So they put a law into effect. It was signed by President Clinton, whenever that was. I know it was Clinton signed it. They signed a law that says every television over 13 inches in size, and Walmart did this for all of their televisions, regardless of size, okay, has to have a V-chip. What does a V-chip do? A V-chip gives you the ability to program your television and tell it what shows will show and not show, what ratings will show and not show, when the television works and what it does. Now, for those of you like me, what is the problem with the V-chip? Number one issue here. Why we don't do it? What's that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Okay. The kids are more likely to know how to mess with the
TV. That's number two reason for not doing it. Number two is the kids can get around it. Okay? Actually, if you read the owner's manual, it teaches you how to get around it. All right? Okay. But the real reason is because you got to read the owner's manual to do it. It is not easy to set up. Now, we've already talked about setting up other things. I've never done mine. I had kids at home. All right? Problem is that you have to read the owner's manual on how to do it. What I want you to tell you, though, is that's the government's excuse for putting trash on your TV. Because you have the ability to monitor it. You have the ability to control it. All of us do. If you've got a satellite receiver, it's got controls within it. If you've got a cable box, it's got controls in it. This is something that we all say, my child watches this television and I don't like it. Well, you've got the ability to control it if you read the owner's manual to your equipment. So I just say quit griping unless you're willing to do something about it. All right. Let me tell you why this is important, though. I forgot to tell this story earlier. The second time I did this presentation, it was at the Bridgewood Church Christ in Fort Worth. And afterwards, one of the elders' wives came up to me. She says, I got to tell you what happened just a few weeks ago. One of the deacon's wives brought the little six-year-old boy in to see the dentist that I work for. And the mother's back talking to the dentist, and I'm talking to this little six-year-old deacon's boy. And I asked little Johnny, I said, Johnny, what do you like to do in your spare time? He says, I like to watch TV. Johnny, what kind of TV do you like to watch? I like to watch those naked women late at night. He learned what comes on Showtime at 2 a.m. All right? There's a reason for having that V-chip on there. All right? Now, I disagree with the child having TV in his room in the first place. We'll talk about that again in a minute. But nevertheless, you have the ability to control that. What the government says, and I have my master's thesis was a broadcast history, so I'm familiar with this stuff. What the government says is that when you allow them to put that wire in your house, it is no different than you putting the door to an X-rated bookstore. That's their attitude. Because nobody required you to put that cable box in your house. Nobody required you to buy that satellite receiver. Nobody required you to do all that. So when you're bringing that in your house, it falls on you, not on the government. And that's their perspective right now. And that's one reason the stuff is there. You do have a V-chip, because nobody has a TV less than 13 inches anymore. All right? You do have, we've got a 50-inch, a 40-inch, and a 30-inch. All right? If your TV is less than 17 years old and over 13 inches, it has a V-chip. If it's smaller, it probably has one. Your satellite or cable box probably has one. No, you're probably not using it. Last week when I did this, one person was doing it. This first person in a number of years. Let's talk about a few more facts. Some of this is repetitive. In 1950, only 10% of TVs, homes had TVs. In the 60s, it was 90%. By 2005, it was 99%. And it's still somewhere around that 99% category. Still more common than telephones and toilets, according to the U.S. Census. Now, one study said that 54 to 56% of children have TVs or monitors in the bedrooms. Let's talk about the difference between TVs and monitors. It's sort of a compromise that I'm making. First time I did this presentation, the preacher walked up to me. He's a very good friend of mine. He said, "Dalton, you're wrong about this TV stuff, always. My child does not have a TV in their room. They have a monitor in their room." You know, there's a difference. A monitor means something you have the ability to control what's in it. In the old days, we'd hooked it to a VCR. Now we're going to hook it to a DVD box or something else. Okay, that's a monitor. If it's not hooked to something bringing out outside television, then it's a monitor. And that is a different thing. If your child has a monitor in their room and you're controlling what's on that monitor, that's one thing. But to have that television hooked to the satellite or the cable is different. There was a series of studies related to children having televisions in their rooms. And they're all what we call correlation studies. Now, let me be academic for a moment. A causation study says this happened and this happened and that caused this to happen. Causation studies are powerful. Correlation studies are not quite as powerful because they say this happened and this happened, and because of that, we can assume that this happened. All right? These are all correlation studies. We're not quite as powerful as causation studies. However, a series of correlation studies indicated that the better educated the parent, the less likely the child was to have a TV in their room. The better educated the parent, the less likely the child was to have a TV in their room. I just say take it for what it's worth. Those that have studied and paid attention to it know that their child should not have a television in their room. I really need to rewrite this, because it's basically there's been 3,900 something studies, last time I looked, about the effects of television on children. All but 24 of them have indicated some kind of negative issue related to television. Don't let somebody claim to you that TV does not affect our children. It does. I have another report that I used to use in my sermon about video games that basically says that every major medical organization in the country, all of them, have agreed in writing that television violence is bad for our kids and video games are bad for our kids. We can quit arguing about it. They all agree. All right. So almost every study, there's been over about 4,000 studies done. Now, I always thought when I was in school, I always thought it was ironic that we had to have scientists tell us what we already knew. All right. But we do. All right. The very first study that anybody pays attention to was back in 1960, 66, something like that. They called it the Bobo doll study. And what they did is they took one of these bow up Bobo clown dolls. All right. Some of you may remember them. I do. It's very similar for those of you that are much older or much younger. Very similar to our inflated Santa Clauses, all right? They have sand in the bottom, and they stand up. Well, they took a bunch of six-year-old boys, and they had them watch very aggressive cartoons. And they had a group of six-year-old boys that watched very passive cartoons. And they put them in this big room with this bow-up doll, to see what happened. Oh, duh. Okay. The kids that watched the aggressive cartoons beat up the Bobo doll. And those that didn't. I could have told you that. And I'm not a scientist. All right. But they proved it. That yes, if our children view aggression, they will become more aggressive. Now let's look at a couple of issues after I look at one more quote. Why are we often so apathetic concerning television? Now that's talking to us grown-ups. Perhaps many adults are quick to dismiss the influence of television because they do not want to admit that they too have been influenced by it. Have I been influenced by television? Oh yeah. I asked my mom, when did we get our first television? Oh, I remember that. We had the same television all the way from when I was born until I got into college. All right. She says, oh, we bought that first television on January. We bought it with a leftover Christmas money in January of 1955. I was born in October of 54. All right. So how much of my life have I spent without television in front of me? Okay. Almost none. So yeah, TV's affected me. And yeah, I don't want anybody messing with what I take in on TV. But maybe somebody needs to. Christ told us, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body be cast into hell. Again, the idea there is, what do we take in this light and what do we take in this dark? I now want to look, I've taken all of those 4,000 studies and got it down to three categories. And all of these have very, very well been proven over and over and over. So the first issue that you deal with television is what they call the direct effects. Increased aggressive behavior. The little boys watching the aggressive cartoons went and beat up the doll. All right? Increased aggressive behavior. Increased willingness to use violence. Got to remember, after a while, if you watch enough of it, you begin to think it's normal to be violent and to be aggressive. You see it on TV all the time. All the time. Paul told us, however, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. It's not Christian to be that way. But we become that way if we watch too much of it. Then there's the desensitization. Increased acceptance of the violence is normal. Way back when I first started this, I found a report by, I don't remember the professor's name, but he was the head of the communication department for the University of Pennsylvania. He was considered the number one researcher on communication in the entire country. I've just forgotten his name. He did something. He went and took the most violent piece, a few seconds, anywhere from 10 to 30 seconds, of each one of the episodes of the first series alone, just the first series, of the original Law and Order. Now, for those of you old enough to remember the original Law and Order, which was 20-something years ago, okay, those weren't very rough television shows compared to what we deal with now. But he just took that first little snip from each one of them, the most violent part, where somebody's getting shot or stabbed or whatever, and he put them together in about a 5-minute video. And they let you watch it all in a row. You know what you want to do when you got through watching that? You wanted to throw up because it was that bad. We take it a little bit at a time and we don't pay attention to it. But I'm sorry, y'all. The psychologists and counselors tell us that just because you took it in a little bit now don't mean you forgot about it. It accumulates in you, just like any other poison would accumulate in you. But no, we get to the point after a while, it just didn't bother us at all. So we get an increased acceptance of violence as normal, and we're all guilty of that. We also, though, however, get an increased acceptance of moral issues as being okay. All right. And we can think of 100 issues, especially related to the fact that people don't get married on TV anymore. All right. And things of that sort that we've just sort of got used to. Okay. Then there's the mean world syndrome. The primary study here included going to children who lived in who lived in communities, typically in the big cities, and asked them what they thought of the world. These were kids who never went more than 2 or 3 blocks to go to school, 2 or 3 blocks to go to the grocery store, 2 or 3 blocks to do this or do that. Do you know what they think the world is like? They think the world is like what you see on TV. Now, this is almost humorous, but it's true. Did you know that, as one social scientist said, that if we all died as quickly in real life as we do on television, the world would be depopulated in 28 years. We'd all be gone. Now, my favorite on this, because I do like the show, even though I shouldn't watch it, is CSI Miami. All right? Now, if you watch that show and you think the world is like that, are you ever going to take a job in Miami if it's offered? No, because you're going to be dead on day 3. All right? Seriously. That show is just, you know, they always start off with somebody getting killed. All right? The mean world syndrome is talking about those kids who do not have an honest perception of the world. The world is bad in lots of places. The world is good in lots of places. But if you watch television all the time, the world is all bad. Very little good that is shown. It's an increased belief that the world is as dangerous as the television world, and the world is a bad place, but it's not as bad as what we show on TV most of the time. How do we protect our children? Some practical ideas. Number one, pay attention to the programs your children watch and watch some of the programs with them. You as parents, especially of younger children, do not have time to watch as much TV as you're probably letting your children watch. Why? Because you got other things to do. You got to cook supper. You got to do this. You got to do that. You're working. All right? But pay attention to the programs as much as you can and watch some of them with them. Know what your child's favorite program is. Have some sense of what they're watching. Set limits on the amount of time they spend with the television. That's hard to do. My favorite book, by the way, I need to mention this while I'm thinking of. Those books on that back table back there are now in your church library, all of them. Okay, so please use them. But one of them back there is called Last Child in the Woods, Saving Your Child from Nature Deficit Disorder. I love that title because basically it's saying get your child out of the house and outdoors. And the book goes from the concept that you live in the city, not just out in the country. You know, there's outdoors even if you live in the city. All right. So this is a wonderful way of doing that, is to set limits on how much time they spend on TV, but you're going to have them give them something else to do. All right. So read that book about how to get your child outside. Now, we know we have all sorts of safety issues now that we're sort of paranoid about. It'll give you some in and outs for that. Set limits on how much they watch. Now, this is my favorite of this group, favorite slide. Point out that although the actor has not actually been hurt or killed, such violence in real life results in pain or death. I want to speak to the parents and grandparents of little bitty kids right now. When Wile E. Coyote gets squashed by a 40-ton rock and crawls out from underneath that rock, what does that tell a 2-year-old? That rock didn't hurt anything. All right? Now, I'm going to be real blunt here. I live in Texas. You live in Texas. You know how many guns there is per person in Texas? Last time I looked, it was 5.3 per person. All right? A kid watches a television show. You're letting them watch more of the one more aggressive one. Somebody gets shot and killed and comes back the next episode in a rerun. What does that tell a 3-year-old? The guns don't really hurt you. All right? You need to tell your child when you're watching these programs that that's not real life. You need to tell them that if you stab me with a fork and I bleed, it's for real. That if you pick up that gun, it's real. I talk to people all the time about gun shootings in Texas. And a lot of times it's just because kids do not realize that guns are real. And I just say that because we live in Texas. By the way, we're the 12th out of the 50 states on quantity of guns per house. Okay? Y'all, I've got 4. Okay? And I don't even like guns in particular. I inherited them. All right? But I need to be careful when my grandkids come to visit. All right? They don't stay loaded. I leave them locked up. I do everything that's proper. I live at a children's home, so I have to do everything proper. All right? But nevertheless, be careful. Tell your child. Don't let them guess. Tell your child just how dangerous some of this is. Refuse to let children see shows known to be violent. Change the channel or turn off the TV when something offensive comes on with an explanation of what's wrong with the program. Don't make it a power struggle, but do something. Your remote control is the most powerful parenting tool you own. Okay. This is humorous, but it's true. Who's got the remote control in their hand 94% of the time when the family's sitting in the living room? There's only one answer to this, y'all. The dad does. That's true. It's true, y'all. 94, if the whole family's sitting there together, the dad's got the remote control in their hand. If something bad comes on, nudity, bad language, whatever, and you can't help that on some channels anymore, if it comes on, what should he do? Or she, if it's the mother. You need to stop it and talk about it. Because when you pause that TV, or mute it, or whatever, what do you have then more than any other time in your child's life? Their attention. Why? Because they know till you get through talking, you're not going to turn it back on. Okay? Use it, y'all. I really believe the remote control is the best parenting tool we own if you use it for that. Again, don't do it just because you can. Do it because you have the ability to teach them during that short time that they're waiting on you to turn the TV back on their favorite program. Disapprove of violent episodes in front of the children, struggling, stressing the belief that such behavior is not the best way to solve the problem. We've talked about that. And this next one's good. We were house parents at High Plains, took the boys to a video store, back when you still had to go to the video store. All right? Hastings. All right? And this one of the boys, Tommy, walked up to me and he said, "Delton, can I get this movie?" I looked at it and I said, "Tommy, that's an R-rated movie and that's not a good movie. No, you can't have it." He said, "There's nothing wrong with it. I've seen it 7 times already." Where did he see it at? His neighbor's house, friend's house. All right. You're not going to control what your friends are allowing your children to do most of the time. Not completely. But you do need to try. So this is what I recommend. If your child is going over to a sleepover to somebody's house, this is especially true related to violent video games, because most parents don't look at the ratings on video games when they buy them for their kids. All right? Not at all. All right? They think a video game is a video game. Not true. But if your child is going over there, tell the mom or dad, whatever the case may be, "Hey, my son is not allowed to play video games rated this. My son is not allowed to watch movies like this. My daughter is not allowed to watch these kind of movies. Video games are now more female than male, so my daughter is not allowed to watch this particular video game." True, y'all. The most common video game player now is a 34-year-old female. All right? Is the group most into it. Okay? All right. So, tell them that. Now, two or three things might occur. Number one, they might listen to you. They might listen to you. And if they don't, maybe it'll start up a conversation about why. And we're always wanting to influence our neighbors positively. I would use that to try to start a conversation about why I feel that way and then talk about it. Gives you an excellent end to talk about basic morality. I want to talk about TV rating and the V-chip. We already talked about the V-chip. Let's talk about TV ratings. And the reason I bring this up is, do any of you remember from the last time you saw TV, probably this morning, that there's a rating up in the corner on absolutely every network program and almost every other program? Can you tell me what the rating was on anything you saw this morning? You might be able to. Most of us can't. We've learned to totally ignore that. The reason I bring this up, the reason I go to the trouble to talk about this, is because you need to know, number one, that the ratings are there. All network programs are required to do this. Almost all cable programs are required to do it. Only a few programs don't do it. You have a rating. Now, I want you to know what those ratings are, because they will tell you if you've got a particular problem with your child, if you're worried about your child's language, or if you're worried about your child has sexual issues, if you're worried about your child and violence, this will tell you what's wrong with the show. And they're considered fairly accurate. The watchdog agencies that look at this stuff have said, yeah, these are mostly accurate. So what are they? You got TVY. That means that's suitable for all children. It also means it was made for children. Now, that's not what it's supposed to say, but that's what it really means. A TVY means it was not only suitable for children, but it was made for children. Then you got TVY7. That means it's got a little bit more in it, usually a little bit more aggression. And that's for kids 7 and older. Okay. Then you got TVY7FV. That's a new rating. Came out just a few years ago. Kids 7 and older, but it mostly includes fantasy violence. That's going to be in the old days, Power Rangers and stuff like that. All right. Then you got TVG. Well, what's the difference between a TVG and a TVY? And I say this just because it's helpful. TVG means you're not going to be bored with it. TVG means it's also for everybody. TVY means it's made for kids. And you're probably going to be bored with it as an adult. TVG means it's like a Disney movie, all right? It means there's nothing wrong with it anywhere. And your kids may like it, and you'll probably like it too. Now, let's move up a notch. Let's go to TVPG. Here, it will always have the initial with it, telling it why it is that way. If it's got a V, it's because of violence. If it's got an S, it's got language. If it's got a D, it's got dialogue, which is almost always talking about sex. So, V, S, or D. Then you go up a notch, TV-14. Intense violence by this time. Intense sexual situations. Intensely suggestive dialogue. And most of our primetime shows are now TV-14 on most networks. Then you got TVMA. That's like I was talking about earlier with the little boys talking about the naked women late at night. This is what Showtime middle-of-the-night movies are going to be about. Actually, sometimes Showtime movies in the middle of the afternoon are going to be about. It means the violence is graphic, strong sexual activity, includes nudity, and crude language as well. Any questions about any of those? I haven't opened up for questions yet. If you got any, just bring them up. Okay. Let me get over there where I can hear you.
I'll speak up.
Okay.
Is that even though you're watching a program that is maybe TVG, is the commercials that are on TVG? Just last night we were watching and it was TVG and the commercials probably weren't MA.
Yeah, she's talking about the commercials. Yes. They're supposed to do that, but they don't. I used to have a whole section on TV commercials. I cut it out when I rewrote it this year. There used to be a section on TV commercials. What I actually talk about is football games. All right, is there anything wrong with football games? No. But how in the world are you explaining some of that stuff to your kids? I don't know. Okay. Because there's some stuff they're talking about in some of those TV commercials that I would have a lot of trouble explaining to a 10-year-old. All right? And you would too. Y'all know what I'm talking about. All right? So, yeah, the commercials are the problems, especially in sports programming, more so than any other. So, yeah. I was looking at something. There was one the other day, and it was something like vacuum cleaners. And they were using sex to sell vacuum cleaners. Okay? It was like, wow, this is weird. I mean, it was really, some commercial came on, and it was about a vacuum cleaner or something, and the girl barely had any clothes on. Okay? All right? You couldn't help but notice it. Okay? This was selling vacuum cleaners. All right? Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. 1 Corinthians 15:3. Thank you for caring about your children and your grandchildren. My time is I'm actually pretty quick. If y'all got any questions for me, I'd be glad to answer them. If you have any other suggestions about things that I need to include in this, I'd be glad to listen to them. I usually tell everybody when they do that, give me another 3 hours and I'll cover that. All right. But nevertheless, I'm always looking for what you're most concerned about hearing about as I literally redo this every time I present it. I update it. Yes, ma'am. Right.
And so the important
thing is what are they doing on that screen time? And are they in a position where you're monitoring and making sure that it is wholesome and positive? Right. She's saying because of school, there's the issue. Valerie, where's Valerie at? My wife Valerie back here is the librarian at Cherokee Home. You know what a librarian does now? What the real job of a librarian is? Sit behind the computers and monitor the computers. That's what she does. Okay. And yes, that's exactly what she has to do. They're in there doing homework, theoretically. Okay. But are they really doing homework? Are they off somewhere else? Okay. So yeah, there is an issue with how much of it, you know, it's hard to limit screen time when the school is now mandating screen time.
Yes, ma'am.
That's the reason I said the kitchen table is the best place for your TV. Yeah, that's the same concept. Just a minute, I need to see what my wife's trying to say. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Speak loud. For those you couldn't hear, she said the school system is now coming out with recommended websites that the children use, and she has to deal with that. Yes, ma'am. No, she asked, do I have any specific app? No, it just depends on. You can go all the way from free ones to very, very expensive ones. It depends on how much we use Net Nanny at Cherokee Home. The problem with all the monitors is they're cumbersome, and the reason they're all cumbersome is because sexual terms and medical terms are often the same terms. All right, depends on the context. So your child can be talking about this topic in a totally innocent context, and Net Nanny will cut it out completely because they think they're talking about something else. All right. So it depends on how deep you want it to go. All right. No, I don't have a strong recommendation or the other. Net Nanny works okay for us. Some of them are in the thousands of dollars. Net Nanny's $40, $50 a year, something like that. So it just depends on what you want to do. Okay. So I don't have a strong recommendation. Research it. See what fits your family. Believe me, you can find plenty of research about what everybody thinks of every monitor that ever came out on that. You can find comment after comment of comment. You can go crazy just trying to keep up with the comments about what everybody thinks of these things. It's one reason I've never paid more attention to it. It's because those comments are so contradictory to each other. Again, depends on where you're putting the moral bar at. Okay? If you're putting it at one place, they're wonderful. Put it in another place, they're totally apprehensive. All right? Or reprehensive. Yeah. Anybody else? If y'all got any questions for me? We've only got an hour and 15-minute drive home, so we've got plenty of time. I love the fact that I didn't have to drive very far today. Okay? And if that's the case, I'm going to say a prayer and we'll be through. And thank you for being here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessing this day. Thank you for the beautiful day you've given us. Thank you for all you've done for us. Help us as we deal with our families, our children, our grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, to lead them in ways that we can, to lead them to servanthood in your kingdom. It is so important, and we pray so sincerely for it. Go with us. Help us be safe. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.